Welcome to the Money Mile Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Waller, and I'm happy you're here. We like to think of Money Mile as standing at the corner of triathlon and personal finance. We believe that age group triathletes are the lifeblood of our sport, and we want to shine the light on some good people doing great things in our sport. Today, we have a special guest on Money Mile. Today, we are joined by Christina Dorer. Christina is a USAT Level 3 coach, a USA Cycling and USA Swimming coach, as well as an Ironman University coach. She is a 14-time All-American and has two Team USA silver medals in the long course aquabike. She has completed both Kona and St. George Ironman World Championships and has podiumed at 10 different 70.3 events and is looking forward to racing the World Championships in New Zealand in December. I think we can all agree that Christina is an accomplished athlete in her own right. But one of the biggest reasons why I am excited to talk to Christina today is about the impact she is having on the sport beyond her own performance with improving access to triathlon training for youth. Christina is on a mission to break down barriers to the sport, ensuring that every child, irrespective of background, has access to these life-changing opportunities. So with that, thank you very much, Christina, for joining us here on Money Mile. We are so happy you're here.
Thank you, Justin. I'm very excited to be here.
Excellent. So for those that don't know all of your background, I tried to share a little bit of your accomplishments here, but I was hoping you could share with us a little bit about kind of how you got started in triathlon.
Yeah, that's a good question. So my husband was in the military for 22 years, and needless to say, we were moving around the country and around the world very frequently. And although I have a business background, I discovered that I really loved teaching fitness and personal training, and that it was something that I could do pretty much everywhere we moved. I really enjoyed it because I was quickly able to make friends and have fun and work out. And my kids were hanging out at the gyms in the child center and taking fitness classes themselves. So it was, you know, a family type of thing that we could do. One time when we were stationed in Florida, I saw a flyer on the gym wall for a Mother's Day women's triathlon. If you remember, this was a long time ago. It was called the Danskin Triathlon. And I decided to try it. And I recruited about 20 women from the gym to do it with me. And the next thing you know, I was coaching. And that experience of coaching these women and the bonds that we created was just so amazing that I knew right then that I really wanted to be a triathlon coach for life. So everywhere we moved, I started a team and I built a community of sport right around myself and around this team. And it's especially grown where I am now, which is in the DMV area. And for those of you who don't know, it's the DC, Maryland, Virginia area. And that's where I permanently reside now. I do have athletes, though, across the country from California to Maryland. And I still actually coach some of my athletes from Florida.
Oh, from the OG, as it were, the original, yeah. Way back in the
original
day.
Group. Yes.
Very nice. Also, you had shared a little bit about kind of how that previous experience has kind of laid a foundation for your work with your new organization. Could you tell us a little bit about the new organization you started and how you got into that endeavor?
Yes, the new organization is called Fit to Be Kids. It's a nonprofit organization with the mission of breaking down the barriers of multi-sport just so that all youth can experience, you know, everything that we have experienced, which is the joy, accomplishment, and sense of community that comes with crossing the finish line. And right now we have our first program launched, and it's basically geared towards high school athletes, and it's called Tri Game Sports.
Well, I'm sure we're going to talk a lot more about Tri-Game Sports and the new adventure that you're getting into here. I was hoping that before we get too far into the Tri-Games piece of things, I was hoping that, because as I mentioned before, we do think of Money Mile as standing at the intersection of triathlon and personal finance. I was hoping you could share with us what you would consider to be the best investment that you have made in the form of time, energy, or money that you've made in your athletic career.
Well, Justin, literally after having bought it all, done it all, and experienced so much joy and competition and camaraderie in triathlon, I can say that the best investment I have made is actually just in paying it forward. After founding this nonprofit and starting the program, it's just brought so much happiness and joy into my life. And I have to say, thanks to our sponsors and donors, we actually launched that new program. And because of them, we were able to provide all this equipment and training for the athletes who really may otherwise never have had an opportunity to participate in the sport. And just watching them learn these lifelong skills and the disciplines, and then creating friendships and developing an attitude of grit and determination has just made me happy. And there's really no money for that.
Oh, that's
It's kind of
wonderful.
like I'm doing it all over again myself, but I'm doing it vicariously through them.
Oh, that's great. So now, when did you officially start Fit to Be Kids?
At the very end of 2023, we launched, and it was kind of a last minute thing. We were hoping that by December 31st, we would have our nonprofit status, and we did. And that's how we got some funding. And we just launched that first program this spring. So it's very new.
So for those that are listening to this at some point in the future, we're recording this in early May of 2024. So this is essentially a brand new endeavor for you. It seems like you've got some good sponsors behind you and you've got some good momentum there. You did qualify for nonprofit status. So you're providing good work in the world, which is great. And now it sounds like we're really just looking to grow this in your community. Am I understanding that correctly?
Absolutely. Yeah. And we're just going little, bit by bit. We wanted to launch this first one. So we launched it. The first program is Try Game Sports for the high schoolers. Just kind of because it's so revolutionary, we wanted to make sure that the program was going to work before we kind of take it to the masses.
Perfect. So you use the term revolutionary, which I think is great for, a bunch of folks who spend a lot of time on a bike. But a revolutionary change in triathlon and training for youth, I'm hoping you can share with our community a little bit more about what your structure has been and why you consider it to be revolutionary.
Yeah, well, I call Tri Game Sports, I call it triathlon gamified. I really wanted to develop a program that would attract high school and middle school athletes. And what better way than incorporating technology into the training and into the racing? So thanks again to our sponsors or donors. We were able to purchase 10 brand new Trek bicycles, 10 new Wahoo kicker snaps, the Wahoo computers and the sensors for the bike. I bought a trailer that I used to trailer all this stuff to the pools. And we set them up, and literally the athletes help. They come, they help set everything up, and the athletes swim, they bike, and they run in one location. We don't take the bikes onto the road, so it's a safe way for the athletes to train. I actually just use a very special computer program, and it allows all the athletes to see their data on the big screen, and it shows a route. We can change up the route to all different things. Like yesterday, they rode their bikes in Central Park and they can see where they are on the route in comparison to others. So it's a lot of fun. We purchased them special Tri Game Sports kits to train in, and we just literally provide everything they need to have a great experience in the sport. We kind of culminate the end of our session with our own little race or a race event. So the kids, after 10 to 12 weeks, they've built up all this fitness and endurance. And at the very end, we do a Tri Game Sports event where they put it all together.
So you guide them through this 10 to 12 week program, and then you get to have a live gamified event at the end. Is that how the vision of that works?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, this sounds really interesting to me. It sounds very similar to what I envision, like an arena league type of experience might be for elite athletes, something like that. Am I thinking of that similarly, or have I totally missed the mark?
No, it's very, very similar to that. Yes.
Excellent. Obviously, you're working with newer athletes. We're dealing with youth here. Could you share with me a little bit about kind of what a typical experience might look like from their perspective?
Yeah, so we started about 7 weeks ago with this first program, and it was really interesting to see how everything unfolded. The kids came, and they didn't really have workout clothes. They didn't have great running sneakers. Almost none of them actually had a bike. Not that they needed one, but they don't have one of their own. And some of them didn't even know somebody else in the class. So if you're one of those kids, it's nerve-wracking, right? To go to try something new that maybe your parents signed you up for or something. But to see them now, just 7 weeks later, is so amazing. They all have their kit, so they all feel comfortable swimming, biking, and running. Their swimming skills have developed incredibly. 300 meters swim for our event is going to be zero problem because they can easily do it. We've got great coaches on deck helping with the swim, the bike, the run. They love the biking aspect. That's their favorite part, I think. Actually, I was a little surprised. There was one day where we had access to the parking lot because we are next to a high school and there was no school that day. So I said, well, let's take the bikes off the trainers and we'll practice some transition practice. I got the transition bars, you know, I got them their helmets and everything. And lo and behold, they didn't know how to ride the bike. And I was really shocked. I just thought, you think that middle school and high school kids know how to ride a bike, but when they don't have access to this equipment at home, they don't use it. So we spent that time just teaching them how to start the bike, stop the bike safely, change the gears and things like that. And we did some, you know, running with the bike and transitioning as well. But I, as a coach, it really opened my eyes to see as to why we don't have so many middle school and high schoolers in the sport. They don't have access to the swimming, the biking, the running, and they don't know how to do it. So we're teaching them.
Well, that is fantastic. Where I think of coaching in an environment like this, you know, it's how to stabilize your effort over the 6 mile period of time so you don't blow yourself up early. You know, like most triathletes experience, and most of us learn like that. You're taking it all the way back, and in this group, like, okay, how do we shift gears on the bike? How do we get on it and off it safely? That's fantastic. I didn't even know that gap existed. I, like you, I assumed that they were competent riding a bike around their neighborhood or whatever it might be. And so you're taking these skills even beyond the sport, just to the skill of riding a bike.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah, I was actually very surprised myself. It really made me think, okay, because I've been doing this for so long, I have to go back and think from the very beginning and make sure we're teaching every single step of the skills.
So how did you find this first cohort of athletes? How did you first get introduced to them?
That's a great question, because I'm kind of new to the area where I live. And so I volunteered and I helped coach a high school swim team. And you know, they're not competitive swimmers, but they're also learning how to swim. And I kind of mentioned it and I introduced it to them, like, there's a new program coming. You have some good swim skills. You want to start trying this. So I got some of the kids from that program and others from word of mouth. And they've all come together really well. You know, in the 7 weeks that we've been together, the camaraderie has grown. They love being together and training together and working out together. And it's just been really great.
So about how many athletes are you working with now?
Right now, 10, because we didn't want to overload what we have, but we can figure that we can expand to up to 30 because in one session, because we have the three coaches who could rotate the swim, the bike, the run, and rotate the kids through the program that way.
That makes sense. And then as far as the age range of the athletes that you're working with now, can you give me kind of a scope of what you're working with or who you're working with?
Yeah, they're in high school, so about 15 to 18 years of age.
And you said most of them have some degree of at least initially some swimming background. So we're not necessarily worried about swim safety like we are, how to get on and off a bike safely. So they're comfortable in the swim, or is that a bit of a mixed bag as well?
No, there was a mixed bag. And the way we would work it is we would actually, if we have a larger group, we would section them off based off of their swim skill levels so that you're together with the beginner swimmers or you're together with the intermediate swimmers or the advanced swimmers. But everybody has caught up and is doing well. It's so amazing how quickly these athletes learn when they are given the opportunity.
That's great. So we talked a little bit about kind of how you're training on the swim. We talked about how you're training on the bike with the new Trek bikes and the Wahoo Kicker and this fancy computer program that you have. How do you structure the run?
Most of the athletes that I'm working with right now, they don't. The run is their least favorite. They have grown to love the swim. They absolutely love riding on the bike. And the run, they're like, do we have to run today? And so we're having them build up to a mile. Now there's some athletes who may have already been runners and they have one who does half marathons. So a mile for him is no problem. But some of the kids, a mile is a long way and building up the speed for that is a long way. And when they don't want to do it, we have to work on their mindset. And so instead of thinking of the things that you hate about the run, let's think about something that's good about it, or, you know, a good mantra to put in, like, I'm a runner. So every time you're running, you know, you're saying to yourself, I'm a runner. That's something positive. And just trying to turn their view of the run around. And yesterday, actually, I had two of the girls run a mile nonstop for the first time, and they did great. So yes, it's making progress. And just, you know, teaching them that grit and determination aspect of the sport.
That is outstanding. It sounds like I could probably use that mantra from time to time in my world as well. Run is not my favorite discipline of the three, but it sounds like you're also taking that beyond just the nuance of triathlon and helping build some life skills in with that. That, yeah, you can do difficult things.
Absolutely.
I'm really impressed by that. It's not just a you know, elite sport performance program that you're running, but you're bringing in some of these other aspects where you can help people understand, okay, well, yeah, maybe you haven't ever run a mile before, and that's okay, and you can work on it. I find it interesting also with your multi-sport experience and being so accomplished with the aqua bike, like, well, hey, you know, if somebody just really doesn't like run, like you
well,
have that
yeah,
option
there's a...
too, but
That's true.
What we're doing right now is different, right?
Yes, I definitely want in this program for them to build up to at least a mile. And that's why we have that in our tri-game event at the end. And, you know, over the course of the time, it's not maybe just building up the mile, but let's see how you can improve in that mile in the 10 to 12 weeks. Can you get a little faster? How fast can you get? Yeah, we're just trying to help them break down their own barriers, mental and physical.
It is time for a quick form check. Money Mile is powered by Waller Financial Coaching, a full-time fiduciary financial planning firm. If you want to improve your financial form and improve your financial independence, you can get a copy of Financial Independence for Triathletes by texting Money Mile, one word, to 33777. You will also be added to the Money for the Long Run newsletter. Again, text Money Mile, one word, to 33777. Now let's check in on that running form. If you have your own form cues, please use those. If not, here are mine. Drop your shoulder blades into your back pockets. Bring your eyes up to the horizon and lean forward from the ankles for the rest of this episode of Money Mile. Your training program now is scheduled for 10 to 12 weeks, depending upon when they start. You're 7 weeks into the first program. Do you have a sense of about how many of these programs you're going to run throughout a given year?
Yes, we'll probably have 3 to 4. We try to do one each season. Just keep it rolling. I can already tell that some of the athletes that are in here just have decided that this is their thing and this is what they want to do. So we want to, you know, make it some sort of a year-round experience for them.
I think we can all benefit at some level from a little bit of recovery time and recuperation and come back excited for the next cycle. So I think a lot of us can benefit from that as well. And hopefully that resonates with the youth that you're working with as well. So we certainly wish them all of the best in your program there. It sounds like you're doing great work in the world, and I appreciate your efforts there. I might have to pick your brain offline a little bit and learn a little bit more about how you have some of these pieces put together. It sounds like a really interesting program. And as far as expanding that beyond just the DMV area, I'd certainly be interested in having a conversation about that as well. So any other thoughts about the Fit to Be Kids program and the gamification of that? Any other thoughts that you'd like to share with our group?
Well, sure. As a new nonprofit organization, Fit to Be Kids definitely needs some financial support to keep this program running. It's been a big investment. We've invested in high quality program with certified coaches, the access to the swimming and the top notch equipment, the uniforms, and even the events. And you know, these athletes are able to join at a low cost of about $150 for the session. And we could really benefit both from corporate sponsorship and personal donations to keep this program running year after year. And Justin, maybe you have some more to say about like the tax benefits of donating to a 501c3 corporation like Fit to Be Kids.
Yeah, absolutely. So in thinking about the tax structure and how things have changed over the years, generally speaking, I like to think of tax code as trying to support the community good and the community benefits and things that go on, so that you get some tax breaks from making contributions to certain organizations. Qualifying nonprofit organizations can receive benefit from that. However, with some changes that have gone on in the tax code over the last several years, it's a little bit more difficult for your average taxpayer to actually see any of the tax benefits of doing those things. Now, I will be the first to say that you should not be contributing to a great cause like Fit to Be Kids solely for the tax benefits. That's not why we do that sort of thing. We want to support these organizations that are doing good work within our sport. And if we also happen to, or we have the capacity to get some sort of tax break from doing so, then all the better. But the goal here, in my opinion, is really primarily first and foremost to support the youth and support these great programs that are happening in the world. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, yeah. Great.
So from that, some people will qualify, or they'll be able to have what's referred to as an itemized deduction. That is really the minority of taxpayers these days. But in which case, it's essentially the IRS gives you a coupon for a certain amount of money that you don't have to pay taxes on any given year. And that's your standard deduction. Everybody gets that if you're single or married. Then on the other side of that, if you have enough other expenses that you can justify and the IRS allows, you can stack up these other deductions and not pay taxes on more of that income. That is particularly where that charitable donation comes in. So if you're making significant contributions to charities, you might be able to get more of a deduction on that. But I would definitely recommend you consult your individual tax preparer for details on that side of things. That's how things work for most tax preparers in the, let's call it, the accumulation phase of things. One thing I did want to highlight in particular around the Fit to Be Kids program: if we happen to have a listener who might be in an age group that's a little bit further down the track, in particular, if you're over the age of 70 and a half, you may have the capacity to contribute to qualifying organizations like Fit to Be Kids through what's referred to as a qualified charitable distribution. If this is something that sounds of interest to you, I would definitely recommend you talk with your tax preparer, talk with your financial planner about it. But it essentially allows you the opportunity to have money contributed directly from your retirement plan assets and go directly to great causes like Fit to Be Kids. So by doing that, essentially you cut out the IRS and your local taxing authority. They have no say in it, and you're able to make that contribution go directly from your IRA to the organization without any taxation whatsoever. And if you are in an age bracket where you are also subject to required minimum distributions, that contribution to the charity also helps offset or helps satisfy some of that required minimum distribution component as well. So there can be multiple benefits of doing that. I will say that you can only really do one or the other. So if you take the qualified charitable distribution, you can't also then try to itemize that deduction. However, there are definitely some strategies out there where you can do good work in the world with the resources that you have available. But I would definitely make sure that you're discussing that with your tax preparer and with your financial planner. So that would be kind of my initial thoughts on things, Christina. Was there anything else that you were thinking of?
Oh no, that was great. I actually just learned a lot from what you said. So thank you for clarifying all that information.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah. So, Christina, obviously you have a lot of involvement with the Try to Be Kids program and the gamification aspect that you've been working on there. I am curious to learn a little bit more about some of the other things that are going on with you in sport. It seems as though you're focusing a little bit less on your own individual racing and opening the doors for others. And in particular, I think some of your insights on the developments around the NC2A programs for triathlon would be really beneficial for our group. Could you share with us a little bit about kind of your understanding of the evolution of that and kind of where those things stand today?
Well, last year I spent a lot of time doing some long course racing, actually the past couple of years, and I just took all that time. I decided I don't want to spend all that time in racing, and I've kind of invested that time into, developing Fit to Be Kids and Try Game Sports. Basically, wanted to open pathways to the future for our youth, but especially for the women, because as you mentioned, triathlon is now an NCAA sport for women. And there are scholarships available. And really, there's right now not a lot of youth out there to be able to take the scholarship. So we really need to grow this funnel of athletes. And that's one of the reasons why I was inspired to start Fit to Be Kids and this program. You know, the right now, so there's over 40 colleges, I want to say like 42 colleges that have the NCAA scholarships available for women, but there's also over 80 colleges in general that have tri-club teams, right? I happen to be a coach for the University of Maryland tri-club, and I just think it's such a great way for a new student to come into the school and instantly make a great group of new friends that share the same kind of passion and drive. So anytime we can open a pathway to the future for our youth is definitely a great investment.
I think that is fantastic. And I as well am very excited about the scholarship capacity for athletes. And I have heard some rumblings out there of, oh, well, you know, why don't we have that for men?
Right.
Honestly, and I mean this in the nicest way possible, I don't care. Eventually, that'll take care of itself. It'll happen. But the fact that women have this opportunity in sport today to do something that men can't do, there's a part of me that loves it. Them having this particular opportunity to excel athletically, not in a way that will solely focus on the pro athlete or professional athlete experience down the road, but that can a way that they can apply themselves while they're in college, while they're getting an education and pursuing further professional skills, and in alignment with that, also enjoy these athletic endeavors and help balance those two, where a young person can get a scholarship to do triathlon, a young woman in particular can do a scholarship to do triathlon, and that opens up more doors for them to study and grow themselves as a person. It warms my heart to know that that opportunity is out there. And yes, guys, it'll come for you too. That's all right. I just really love the fact that ladies first in this particular opportunity. I love that those doors are opening. And I agree with you. If we don't invest in the sport, sports can get scholarship capacity and have NCAA privileges to do all that stuff. It can also go away. So if we don't appropriately support those programs and do the great work like you're doing with Fit to Be Kids, we have the young people ready to go into those programs and everybody's not completely freaked out about freshman year in college and what is this tri club I've never heard of. If we have that kind of funnel, as you put it, to bring prepared people and young ladies into that program, I think it's fantastic. I'm super excited that you've started what you started and a bright future ahead of you. I certainly look forward to future conversations with you and the NC2A scholarship athletes that you've helped coach over the years. I'm sure there's a bright future for that down the road.
Thank you. It's a really exciting time for triathlon, and I'm really proud and excited for the young people that I get to work with every day. You know, as athletes, we understand the profound impact that sports can have on shaping our lives. And really, that's what's at the heart of Fit to Be Kids and extending that transformative power to the next generation.
That is great. So, Christina, you obviously have lots of experience in triathlon individually and expanding this to the youth. And we're looking forward to opportunities in the NC2A space and looking for filling that funnel and growing the sport as a whole. I'm curious from your perspective, how you think we can invest in the future of this sport and why that is so important to you. And a little bit of background there, you had mentioned, you know, there are all these things that we love about being triathletes, adults, and probably didn't get to have that experience until later in life. And these need to be available to younger generations, or we'd like to build that out. But they need access to the equipment and the coaching, all these mental and physical challenges that go on, and their ability to learn how they can do hard things in life. I just wanted to learn a little bit more about how you think we can invest in the future of the sport.
Yeah, well, I believe that investing in the future of the sport means investing in opportunities for our younger generations to experience the joy that we as adults have experienced. You know, we need to share everything that we loved about being triathletes and probably didn't get to experience until later in life. I don't know, I was 35 when I did my first triathlon, but we need to share this with those teenagers. They need access to the equipment and good coaching. They need to experience what long-term training and perseverance is all about. They need to learn how to overcome mental and physical challenges. They need to have a support system of friends and coaches so that they know that they can get through hard things in life. I know I, for one, wish I had discovered the sport when I was younger and not in my late 30s, as I'm sure many of our listeners out there probably feel the same way.
Well, and that makes me think that if we're looking at this as something that we really want to support for future generations, forgive me if I'm overstepping here, but it sounds like to some extent, if we really benefited from this, it's to some extent our responsibility, as you mentioned before, we've got to pay that forward and help create those opportunities for young people. It's one thing to, and you're obviously doing a lot of work in this, helping with the university triathlon club. But if we want these opportunities to continue to be available and to grow as participating athletes, it's kind of something we need to lean into. Or if it goes away, we need to understand that part of that's our responsibility. It's our responsibility to be good stewards of the sport and the opportunity. That's my view. Does that align with your perspective or?
Absolutely. And there are a lot of ways where you can get involved, whether it's, becoming a coach or volunteering for somebody. We're always looking for volunteers for Fit to Be Kids and getting our coaches all the experience that they need to be really good coaches. So there are a lot of ways that you can help as an individual, from donating to actually participating.
Wonderful. I am curious, with your vast background in the sport and these new areas that you're looking at, what is it that excites you most about the future of our sport?
I think that our sport has traditionally been about 70% men and about 30% women. And so I'm actually excited about the new growth of women in the sport. There are a lot more opportunities now for women in college. There are more women participating in the Ironman World Championships now than there were before, because now we have the 2 days of racing. The U.S. has a great inspirational team of women on the path to the Olympics this summer, and they're so much fun to watch, as well as really great role models for our young athletes. Athletes like Taylor Nib, who has already officially qualified, and then Katie Zafaris, who's just such a hard worker, along with Gwen Jorgensen, who was already a gold medalist and now trying to make her way back as she's gone through a few little hoops there, trying to get to that start line. And then Taylor Spivey, who's coming back from injury. So everyone has a story. It's really interesting, and it's all so fun to watch. I think I'm also excited about the shorter and faster formats of racing, that they're just a lot more spectator friendly. And the growth trends of things like you mentioned earlier, the arena games and Super League, they're just a lot of fun to watch because they're so fast paced. So it's a really exciting time.
Yeah, I would agree. It's a little bit more difficult to slog through an 8 hour stint of watching an Ironman or something like that. And some of the newer formats that they're coming out with are just really exciting opportunities to just expand the infrastructure. I know when I first started in triathlon was Ironman. It was the long distance. It was the all day slog. That was all there was. It took me a little while of getting into it to realize, oh, there are shorter opportunities. There are other ways to do that. I think the more opportunities that are out there, the more exposure that our sport gets, the more doors open for people who may not necessarily think, they wake up first thing in the morning and say, oh, I want to go abuse my body for 12 hours. Not many of us wake up with that particular perspective, but I could do a triathlon in an hour or two. Oh, okay, great. And some of the coverage that I've seen on some of the shorter distance events have been really fascinating. They're doing a great job of building up the stories and telling the stories of the individual athletes. It's been a great boon for the sport overall.
Yeah. And actually, sometimes I work with the younger kids and they think that they need to go long right away, and long meaning like an Olympic distance. And really what we try to tell the kids is we want you to max out your speed while you're young. We want you to get to your top speeds at a young age because you have a lifetime to go long. So that's one of the reasons why in our Fit to Be Kids Tri Game Sports program, we're working on shorter distances. Sometimes it doesn't sound like much to someone like us, 300 meter swim, 6 mile bike, and a 1 mile run. But we really want to focus on getting these kids to be fast at that distance. That's one of the keys, that now that you brought that up.
So with your background and the extensive background that you've had with coaching and understanding all the different nuances with the physical components of that, that absolutely makes sense to me. So now as an older person, trying to get faster is extremely difficult, but it makes sense that if you can help them build that engine early and build the speed early, they'll be able to maintain that through their life. Am I kind of understanding?
Absolutely. It's hard to get somebody who's older to get their top speed, but you know, somebody who's younger is going to have a top speed longer when they get older. So
yeah, that's perfect. And hopefully keeping them in a healthy relationship with sports. So that I'd love to think that they'll be doing triathlon for a lifetime, but if they decide later on, maybe they want to focus on just swimming or one area of it or something else entirely, they'll have that aerobic capacity. They'll have that engine built and they'll be able to apply that in a lot of different ways. And they'll have the confidence that they can dig deep and work hard and do tough stuff. I think what you're doing is fantastic. Please keep up the great work.
Thank you so much, Justin.
So just in kind of wrapping things up for today, I'm kind of curious, how could our listeners best support you in your efforts and what you're working on?
Well, just to kind of wrap it up as to what we discussed a little earlier, everything from a corporate sponsorship, if you have a company that wants to sponsor us, we could definitely use your help. Individual donors are great, but also come work with us one-on-one with the kids and become a certified coach, help us teach them how to swim, bike, and run, and build a great community. You can help us develop events, or maybe you're an accountant and, you know, there's other things that we could use. So anything that you have a strength in, I'm sure we can find a way to use your help in Fit to Be Kids and in growing our sport for the future.
So if it's okay with you, I'd like to include in the show notes here, links to all of the social media and the websites so our listeners can reach out and find you. Is that okay with you?
Absolutely. I would greatly appreciate that. Yes.
So if we are doing our job correctly here, our listeners are actually out on their long, steady run or you know, maybe they're out on a bike ride or something like that, and they may not have access to all of the websites and all that information at their fingertips. That way, we like to put the information in the show notes. In addition to that, we also do have the Money for the Long Run newsletter. If you are not interested in necessarily tracking down the show notes, we have the show notes delivered automatically to your email inbox every 2 weeks. So that way you can have all those links in there. So if you are not a member of the Money for the Long Run newsletter, I definitely recommend you sign up for that. But ultimately, the reason for that is so that you can get access to great resources like the Fit to Be Kids program and understanding how to support great people doing great things in our sport. So with that, Christina Dorer, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate you sharing your experience and the work that you're putting in with the Fit to Be Kids program and how you're doing all this stuff. You're doing great work in the world. Please keep it up and let us know if there's anything that we can do to help support you in your efforts in the future, okay?
Thank you so much, Justin. Really appreciate your time.
In this episode, we talked about a couple of specific financial strategies, and these should not be considered financial advice individually tailored for you. This was discussed as an educational component of how you can better support the causes that are important to you. If you have signed up for the Money for the Long Run newsletter, you will have the show notes in your email inbox. I will also be including a visual about the strategy of a qualified charitable distribution process and how that works. So if this is of interest to you, please take a look at that and talk with your tax preparer and financial planner to see if that strategy is right for you. I hope you found our conversation today valuable. If you did, please share the podcast with your training buddies and friends. If you work out, everything else will too. And we'll look forward to talking with you next time on Money Mile.